From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
This week on the Gay PHX Podcast, I'm coming to you with a clear head, a full heart, and a whole lot of gratitude. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Billy, and it's been a wild couple of weeks. Between travel, change, and a few unexpected turns, it's been overwhelming at times. But in the middle of all this came some real clarity. I'm coming home to Phoenix feeling inspired, invigorated, and more determined than ever to take Gay PHX to the next level. First, I want to thank the guys over at Melrose Yoga. They've helped me with my recovery, even from afar, keeping me centered and reminding me that showing up for yourself is part of showing up for your community. Their guidance has been a lifeline. And to Jeff and Michael, thank you for opening your doors and your hearts to Brian and I. You helped make this trip possible and giving us a base of operations that was needed. So special thanks to you. And also to the Speakeasy Hotel for housing Little Bear and Daylin during their Palm Springs adventure with us. If you're planning a getaway, check them out. It's a super cute boutique hotel, just minutes from all the action and perfect for any Palm Springs events. And when we get back to Phoenix, I'm more motivated than ever to make Gay PHX sound and feel like a major market station, because that's what this city deserves. Our streaming numbers are growing fast, and that's thanks to you. Every listen, every share, every message, that's all helping turn Gay PHX from a simple website of events into a true hub for our community. And as I settle back in, I'm thinking about our own pride. What makes it unique? What makes it special? And how we can make it even stronger together. Phoenix doesn't need to be Palm Springs, but we can absolutely build that same sense of community, that connection, that joy and togetherness right here in our desert. Later in the show, we're going to sit with Will Goldstein, the producer of Fit to be Tied, a bold new LGBTQ plus dramedy, hoping to bring a little movie magic right here to Phoenix. But first, let's head over to Brian for his Hot 3.
You're listening to the Gay PHX Podcast, where community comes first.
Hey, 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 it's your Desert Den Daddy Brian. The air is thick, the lights are low, and the valley is sweating in all the right places. From the shadows of the radio towers, welcome to Brian's Hot 3, where the men are furred, music's dirty, and the crowd's a little horny. This week, the Bears are stripping down and taking over. The Cowboys are trading lassos for lip gloss, and the Gearheads are singing their hearts out one harness strap at a time. It's heat, heartbeat, and a whole lot of body contact. So towel off, pour a shot, and let's get slippery, because this week's Hot 3 is pure sweat, grit, and glitter. Hot pick number 1, Bear Union Phoenix, November 13th at 8 p.m., 2:11. Bears are coming, and this time they're bringing the Broncos and the Cowboys. So which one are you going to be, the one who rides or the one who gets ridden? Straight out of Palm Springs in L.A., the world-famous men-only Bear Union Phoenix ignites the night with fur, power, and connection. This isn't a bear crawl, it's a brotherhood. Expect music that pulses through your bones, bodies built for embrace, and energy that burns until the last growl fades. Clothes checked, lube, consent, respect, everything you need for a night that's 100% Bear Union. Hydrate, gear up, and join the union, because when the bears unite, the desert burns. Hot pick number 2, Saloon, Debbie Does Dallas at The Rock, November 15th at 6 p.m. Hold on to your cowboy hats, darling. Miss Honey T is back in the saddle and hosting Saloon. Debbie Does Dallas, a campy, rowdy yeehaw of a show where drag meets rodeo and nobody rides alone. Your former Mr. Arizona Gay Rodeo Association 2024 is wrangling up a new cast of ready to take you on a wild ride through 1978, when short shorts were law and sequins was the currency. Every performer on this team knows how to score, and so strap in for your night. That's all giddy up, glitter, and glorious chaos. Pick number 3, Gear Social and Kinky Yoki. At The Rock, Monday, November 17th at 8 p.m. It's Monday night, and you know what that means. Gear up and let your freak sing. Hosted by Justin, Gear Social starts at 8 p.m., a cruisy mix of drinks, kinks, and connection, followed by Kinky Yoki at 9. Think leather meets karaoke with a side of fetish flair. Bring your harness, grab a mic, and belt out your favorite power ballad while the crowd howls its approval. Because it's Phoenix, Monday is just Friday with a fetish. From the shadows of the radio towers, I'm your desert den daddy, Brian. The fur may be thicker, the nights longer, but the fire in this desert never fades. As the leather creaks, the music pounds, and the laughter spills out into the streets, remember, it's not just about the party, it's about the people. Every handshake, every hug, every howl at the moon keeps this community alive and roaring. To everyone listening, thank you for being part of the story, the love, the pride, and the pulse that makes Phoenix more than a city, it's a family. Don't have a transmitter, we don't have a big broadcast tower humming in the desert, but we do have you, and that means everything. So keep showing up, keep celebrating your tribe, keep proving that when the bears unite and the desert doesn't just get hotter, it glows. Until next time, coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, your desert den daddy, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GabePHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the valley.
New episodes, local voices, big queer energy. Subscribe now to the Gay PHX podcast.
Get ready to lace up, leather up, and brunch down. Onyx Southwest is bringing their very first community kinky leather brunch to Phoenix, happening Saturday, November 15th at Cobalt Bar. Join the Onyx Southwest brothers and their guests from Los Angeles for a day that celebrates community, kink, and connection, featuring go-go dancers, live demos, drag performances, amazing food, a cash bar, and a 50-50 raffle with proceeds benefiting Trans Queer Pueblo. This isn't your average brunch. It's bold, inclusive, and unapologetically kinky. So grab your harness, polish that leather, and come show your pride at Cobalt Bar, 3110 North Central Avenue. Tickets are just $30. Grab yours now through Brown Paper Tickets, presented by Onyx Southwest, where brotherhood meets power, pride, and play.
This is what community sounds like.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma, and I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about injectable HIV meds. Let's talk about long-acting HIV medications. It's a total game changer for both prevention and treatment. Instead of taking pills every day to prevent or treat HIV, long-acting options like injectable PrEP or injectable HIV treatment can be given once every 1 or 2 months, some even less often. That means fewer daily reminders, more privacy, and more freedom. But they're not for everyone. You'll need to visit a provider regularly for your shots, and missing an appointment can raise your risk of resistance. We don't want that. Some people also experience side effects like injection site pain or fatigue. The good news? These meds are safe, effective, and helping more people stay undetectable or HIV-free without that daily pill. Talk to a healthcare provider to see if long-acting options are right for you. Let's live and love stigma-free of HIV.
The Phoenix Boys of Leather present the 17th annual Wax a Bear fundraiser, Saturday, November 15th at the Anvil. Bid on our sexy bears as they get waxed live on stage. To the highest bidder goes the pelt. Plus, win big at our charity auctions with custom Build-A-Bears, leather gear, art, and handcrafted kinky delights from local vendors. Our friends at Ripple Phoenix will be there with free HIV testing and check-in. Support their mission to give our community the love and tools to live stronger and healthier lives. And remember, this night is for everyone. Femme, masculine, non-binary, trans, however you shine, there's a place for you at Wax-A-Bear. Don't miss it. Wax-A-Bear 2025, November 15th at the Anvil. Come ready to cheer, bid, and celebrate.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX podcast.
Two awkward men, one BDSM date, and a comedy of errors that reveals something deeper than domination, connection. Fit to be Tied is a bold new LGBTQ dramedy that blends kink, cringe, and surprising tenderness in a story that's as human as it is hilarious. Joining us to talk about this is the film's producer, Will Goldstein. There we go. Will, welcome. Welcome to the Rainbow Titted Microphone. Thank you for joining us today. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Oh, there we go. Now I can.
I lost you for a minute.
Okay, good. I was going to say, that was like the most impressive intro I've ever had.
Oh.
And this includes like all birthday parties, little kid birthday parties. And it was just some automated filter or something. I don't know what that says about me, but I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm very excited now.
I'm so glad that you're here to talk about Fit to Be Tied. What first drew you to this project?
So this project, I was lucky enough to do film graduate school at the University of Southern California, and I met a friend of mine in our class named Kevin West. And he and I worked on a project together where he was an editor, actually, and I was producing it. And he told me, or he asked me, when I have my feature film ready to go, would you produce it? And I said, as long as it's not anything hateful, I'm completely down. You're my friend. I'll produce it. A decade went by. We both got jobs as teachers. We did what we had to do. And now is the time that we actually have the fundage to actually make the movie. So we're starting to hype it up. And we've been completely welcomed by the LGBT community. Now, should I call it downtown Phoenix? Would that be considered downtown Melrose?
That's the gayborhood around. If you're talking Melrose area, we call that the gayborhood.
No, I did know that. My younger brother is gay, and he always told me about the gayborhood. I didn't know that was part of it.
Yes.
But so that's how it came about, and we've been developing it for the last 3, 4, maybe 5 years. After COVID, time felt weird.
Right.
So we've been developing it. And when you're producing movies, especially independent movies, you have about 9 or 10 plates spinning, different projects, and just when one hits, like kismet. Okay,
I can relate.
Now is the time. Now's the time to produce this. This one is the one that's on deck, and I'm super excited for it because this one is exclusive. We're focused, and we get to shoot it in Arizona, so we get to put local artists to work, which is also something I'm really excited about. That's part of the reason I moved back from Los Angeles to Phoenix, because I wanted to help lobby productions to come over here. But if we have to do it independently, then that's what we'll do. And we're definitely in pre-production at this point, but everybody we've spoken to has been encouraging and inclusive. Coming from the Los Angeles machine, where there's red tape everywhere, this is so relieving. Or refreshing, maybe a better word, just to, instead of climbing 25 different hurdles, there's 5 or 6.
Because the city doesn't have the structure to try and profit off of filmmaking.
Not
it
yet.
Hasn't been that, like where LA is, it's born and bred into the city at this stage. It's been there for so long, where it's still a new thing here. We've been the wild, wild west.
True. It is. But the thing is, there's been incentives passed, so people are coming to shoot here now. So it's gaining a lot of momentum, and that's something that makes me happy, because it'll allow me to help produce independent films out here and make a legitimate business out of that. I'm excited for it, and I'm excited to get involved in the community. We're already making T-shirts to promote the thing, so you'll see myself and our other producer, Curtis, around town, around the Melrose neighborhood, handing out shirts just to hype everything up, but we're going to have a lot of fun. And I believe it was I'm embarrassed. Who's the guy that put us in touch? The guy from the Men of Leather.
Oh, Mike.
Mike, yeah. So we went to a meeting with them, the other producer and I. And for me, admittedly, it was like we're not in Kansas anymore. But it was so fun. Like, we ended up laughing and having such a good time and going out for drinks. It was a great time. Like, every time I've gone down there, it's been revealing and fun. And it's just, I come from a world specifically that is a little bit more, I don't want to use an inappropriate term, but a little more quote unquote traditional. And I don't see how this isn't. And this is one of the reasons I really wanted to produce this one, because Kevin had pitched me 2 different projects. And I like this one because of the subversion and the humanity to it. Because it on the surface, it seems like it's going to be some lurid BDSM thing. And that's certainly a genre and a type of film that could be made that would be a lot of fun. But this is it exposes these characters as having, just being awkward misfits and trying to fit in, trying to find their place in the world. And they end up forming an incredible bond. But the comedy of errors part of it is to lighten everything and have more levity. This is something that could be considered controversial, I should say. But the thing that I love about it the most is just the humanity behind it.
So there's like a fine line between awkward and absurd, especially if you're trying to portray this on screen. How do you strike that tone without tipping over too far?
Admittedly, that might be a question better answered by the director. But I will say, we will be straddling that line. It definitely pushes, it pushes into the absurd, but pulls back pretty quickly to ground us and remind us that this is, we're in a hotel room with these two characters, and this is actually happening. It's not something that's happening in some kind of comic book world or anything wild like that. Like, it is very, very grounded in the real world and humanity. We were going for what is that movie? It's like a trilogy of films that Richard Linklater made with Ethan Hawke, and I can't remember the woman's name, but it was about two people meeting and just having conversations and becoming closer. Oh, Before Sunset. That's what it's called.
Which one?
I believe it's called Before Sunset.
Before Sunset.
If you look that up, there's a whole trilogy of those two, maybe my favorite trilogy, of these two characters just getting to know each other and having this relationship that evolves over three different films. But it is in that vein, in terms of, I'm going to keep hitting this word, in terms of humanity, I believe it's similar. And it's definitely been a source of inspiration.
As you were saying, producing like indie films often means wearing a lot of hats. What's your role like in a day-to-day for this project?
It's not just for this project, but it's for any project that you're producing. It's usually you wake up to at least one or two fires to put out, but that is just the job of the producer. And we enjoy it. Some people might call us masochistic. That's fitting for this project. So there you go.
It ties right into the theme.
Producing film in general is almost a thankless practice, because you are the one that has to go out. You have to find the money. You have to convince people. So it's almost like you're a salesman for a film. And nobody likes when their door is knocked on and interrupts their dinner and somebody is selling doors door to door. Look, I'm busy. You have to see all the people and have all the conversations. And that takes a lot out of you. And it's a lot of people to see. And it's a lot of time to be on. And it's exhausting. But at the same time, when you have a film screen and people are legitimately moved by it, it just makes you want to do it all over again. That's what we live for, is to hit people in the heart and move them in some way, whether it's to laugh, to cry, to be afraid. That's where the love comes from for the entire platform, the entire production, the entire practice. This project specifically is what we call a chamber piece. It's one or two locations, primarily a hotel. And you have these two characters that are trying to be in place, but are so out of place doing that, which is almost a secondary interpretation of the title, Fit to Be Tied. Who's fit and who's not? So I don't want to go on diatribe so much.
So as you're saying, budgets are challenging on an indie film. What are some of the creative decisions that you have to make to try and keep the film on track? Is it that you try and get more money? Do you try and adjust how you make the film or how you do something? How does that work?
It's almost like you have to put all of those elements, all those fruits in a blender and spin it around. You're doing everything at once. It's like that, what was that movie, Everything Everywhere at the same, all at once?
Oh, yes.
That's what it's like being a producer. It's almost like living in a multiverse. But it is, when you have to deal with creative decisions, it's really contingent on the crew that you have. And that's where we like to spend a lot of time, is really figuring out who's going to be supportive and reliable and able to solve problems quickly and is a team player. And that's, those are the kinds of people that you want on your team. People that are selfless is almost what comes to mind, because independent productions, especially outside of the Los Angeles and New York machine is, it's tricky. And you have to rely on people, and they have to be able to rely on you. So there's a lot of trust and a lot of faith that goes into it, and that you just have to start moving the boulder up the mountain and keep pushing until it's at the top. And like I said, we've been developing this for about 5 years. It's gone through so many iterations, so many different titles, actually. It was originally titled Top and Bottom, which we felt was indicative of an alternate version of this film. So we went with Fit to Be Tied because we thought that was more grounding. But yeah, finding creative solutions is just what you do. It's just become secondhand nature, and you'll just be doing it without realizing that you're doing it.
So were there any surprises during filming or moments that just jumped to life more than you realized than they seemed on the page?
I would love to answer that, but we're actually, this is early, but we're actually shooting next summer.
Oh.
So everybody listening can come and be involved. We're going to be shooting on a stage downtown.
Excellent. And when is that happening?
So it's going to be almost a year from now.
Okay.
But the Mr. Mike said we should get on with you as soon as we can.
Yes. Yes, because we'll start hyping it up now and then remind people as we get closer. And yeah, we'll do a refresher kind of thing. But yeah, this is a great chance for people to get the sneak peek early. I wasn't sure how far along in production.
Yeah, I am truly appreciative of you taking the time for this and everybody in the community trying to help, doing their best. It's very refreshing to have people encourage you instead of tell you why you shouldn't be doing something.
Well, again, we're outside of that machinery out here in Phoenix. So we encourage it because we want to have it. Let me ask this question. So because you are doing it out here and you're talking about trust, is that because you need to trust these people because it's not, is it a bunch of part-timers? This isn't what they do day in and day out of their lives necessarily, like happens in LA more often. Everybody's an actor, right? Out there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, there's a lot of craftspeople on this project that are from a lot of different backgrounds, different communities. And some of them have carved out excellent careers for themselves in the practice that they want to do. Others are just getting started and they need their calling card. And I think that this is going to be something that's very strong and effective for them. And for the, I'm hoping, like what we would like this to be is something that is central to Phoenix, not necessarily central Phoenix, though I believe that's where Melrose is, but something that has been produced by people around town. I want this to be a baby that we all give birth to.
Right.
I can't think of a less lurid analogy right now.
I understand. You want it to feel like a community project that everyone feels invested. They've everyone will be proud.
Yeah. We want everyone to be involved and to be happy with the product that we come out with, because I don't think it's something that's offensive. I don't think it's something that's appropriate in any way, though on the surface, some people might take it as that. But once you watch it or even read the script, you get this completely warm-hearted view of everything. And that, for me, was the major element that made me say, okay, this one, let's do this one. Because it's on the surface that had this controversial element to it. But then once you get inside the hotel room, it's just a comedy of errors, very silly and sweet. And
I like the cheeky touch that you've got in there. I think the title is great too.
There are moments that will push the, like you mentioned, the absurdity to a certain level, but it gets reeled back. You know, we almost get reeled back into the quote unquote real world. And that's where a lot of the humor is derived from. It's that contrast between that alleged real world versus what's going on in this hotel room, which if somebody had barged in, would assume one thing, but what they see would be something completely different. Because they never, the characters, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but I'm going to give away a spoiler, is they never actually get to any sex. Because they're so awkward and they're trying to fit in and they're maybe not fit to be tied. But the idea with the title is that the two of them ultimately are to be tied in, but that takes on another meaning. They're fit to be tied together. And the suggestion at the end of the film is that they've established a burgeoning relationship.
Nice.
That's based on what do I want here? That's based on general attractive or not. It's based on general interest in one another and not sex. Though that's fair too. In this project, that's not what we're specifically going for.
Understood. And you've got the casting done, correct? You've got your roles casted?
Oh, yeah. There's only two people in the film.
Oh, okay. And what was your approach to casting?
So we actually cast this thing about 2 years ago. And we found these two actors that just fit the role brilliantly, both roles. One of our actors' name is Jason Caceres. Has a very, very burgeoning career. And, you know, it fit the role perfectly. We did a whole photo shoot for our pitch deck. I gave you the pitch deck, didn't I?
I did not get that.
Okay, I'll send it to you and you can look it over before maybe publishing this. But on the pitch deck, so we did an entire photo shoot. We rented out a studio that looked like a hotel room, and we had all the costumes, and we had the actors do their blocking, their movements, and highlighted major parts of the film. And then we also did some just general interactions, general rehearsal. And yet, Evan and I took away from that these are two of the strongest actors that we could find at this particular level. This is what is typically referred to as potential breakout roles. And not something that is, we all need that calling card. And that's what this is going to be for a lot of different people, a lot of different actors, a lot of different producers, editors, everybody that we're pulling together on this project. And so we're completely going all in on it and want this to be something special, which I know that it will be.
Excellent. For listeners that want to support the film or follow more about what's happening, how can they do so at this stage?
You can check out our website at iconoclasticcontent.shop. And we actually posted some of the t-shirts on there that are available for very cheap right now. You will find us sneaking around downtown and handing people shirts. I'm not going to tell you where we're going to be and when, but we'll be around. But that's where people can go and get more information about the film.
Excellent. Very cool. And then, yeah, when you come back to, or when you get ready to start doing things here, let us know and let's coordinate so we can let the listeners know. We'll do a refresh, so to speak.
Yeah, no, that would be outstanding. Yeah, no, that's great. And it's fun to be involved in that capacity and be able to bring something to the table that could help motivate and sync up with people. We've had such an incredible response at this early stage that I feel like it can only go up from here as long as we do our jobs properly.
So how are you going to balance the comedy and kink in there? Have you had conversations with the director as far as how that gets shot? Is it a balance between what the actors are comfortable with? How does that all...
You really live and die by the script. The director, that's not something that I have much say in. I like to let craftspeople do their thing once we put everything together, because you don't want somebody breathing down your neck when you're trying to make a work of art.
Right.
I'm not gonna do that. But the director and the director of photography, the cinematographer, have a visual language that they're establishing. The idea is to not make it particularly feel like they're trapped in one room, but to make it feel more cinematic. Instead of, I don't have a better term than that at this moment as I'm sitting in traffic with luck. But that's a live and die on that hill.
Cinematic as in grandiose compared to the vision that you have right now in traffic.
So it's not, I trust the artist's vision. I'm just the guy who pulls the elements together and then they go out and they produce the work of art. I'm the lowly hype man at this point.
So
I'm doing all the work behind the scenes.
All the coordination and getting the bills paid. So once it's produced, once it's made, how does that go? How do you do for distribution? Is that what you handle? Do you farm that out? What is the role after that, after it's actually made?
Yeah, that will be the producer's job. But we're going to shop that around at film festivals, LGBTQ festivals, and then hopefully get it distributed. Worst case scenario, We put it on VOD. People can watch it there and build up its own hype. But I think, given the content, given the talent behind it, that this is going to do very well, especially at the festival. I'm already excited for that. I want to have this thing made so we can go and show it to people. It's almost like being excited for Christmas a year before.
You got such a great plan, and you know what's going to happen, and you just can't wait to execute. I understand that. So when you take...
There is one thing I should mention that... I'm sorry. There's one thing that I should mention is that this is based on a successful stage play. So it's already got a built-in audience from Los Angeles.
I see. And is it the stage play with the same name?
No, it was called Top and Bottom.
It was called Top and Bottom there. Okay.
The name.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. And it got great reviews. It was sold out after the first few. It got around word of mouth and started selling out. So when Kevin pitched it to me, you know, as the producer, I said, from a practical perspective, that makes a lot of sense, but let's read the screenplay. And I did. And I was like, this is a unicorn. It already has a built-in audience, and it's a great piece of work. Sometimes producers, especially, will do it for practical purposes. Okay, I can cash in on this, and it'll be X, Y, and Z. But this already has a built-in audience, and the content alone is something that I think is special. I think that in terms of filmmaking or any work of art, that we all speak a universal language of film and art, and that's something that can either connect us or point out issues in society. And I think that's something that this project does. It does both of those things. I think it does them well. And so when you come across a unicorn like that, people already can, it's almost a no-brainer, at least in my world.
I can see and understand that. It's the same. I feel like we're at a turning point in society where people are fed up with being told how to be, so to speak, and people want to more normalize talking about kink, and so that it's not so taboo. And so that's why for us, this feels like it's the perfect fit, because we're starting to do that with the podcast and exploring the different parts of our community that have that, so that we can normalize that conversation. That's how we came across to learn about this project too, as a matter of fact. So it's great that you're doing it. Yeah. It feels like the right time.
Sometimes when a project hits, it's almost like everything divinely falls into place. And when that is happening, that's almost, to me, it's like an intuitive sign that, okay, this is the thing we need to push for. And that's what's happening right now.
And so it's interesting. I had, because recently I spoke with the creator of Maxi LaWow, an animated feature film that was produced independently. And we talk about how the big studios, unless there's already some established IP, they won't even really touch it. And so it's interesting. You do have some fan base to build off of to help. So that's cool that you were able to do that. And much a lot of movies are based off books or TV shows or comic books at this stage now.
Yeah, and that's something that's completely true. I think there's a show on Netflix that kind of satirizes all that. But it is completely true. They're not making any projects that live outside of an already known. So, like, right now, we're building a project that, because it has, and it already comes with a built-in audience, it is almost its own, and it's already based on a play, it is almost its own IP, but obviously,
right.
That would be,
it's not at the level of
a Marvel.
It's not at the level where everyone would consider it IP, but it's, you can see the trajectory. It has a fan base already. It has the right demographic as far as a group to reach out to, that is more widespread in community than I think a lot of people realize. And I think it'll be fun. That's why we're on board with doing whatever we can to help make this a success as well, and help get you what you need resource wise and promote it wise. And
yeah, I know. I really appreciate that. And to your point, I believe that we're on the verge of some kind of artistic renaissance. And I feel like that will happen in the next decade or so. Maybe sooner, because people are becoming fed up with if all you serve is cheeseburgers and you're a vegetarian, what are you going to do? And I think that's why we're around, is to offer you another option.
Right.
And I feel like we're entering an era like the early 90s when Sundance came out. And they were promoting independent films, and that just became hotspot for finding the next big thing, the next big director, the next big project. And I think we're entering an era like that where independent voices are going to be more encouraged because people are getting tired of the same old.
I agree. I feel like it's like a pendulum that kind of swings, much like political pendulums do. I think that's the same thing because, yes, there was a big focus on independent films. And then, if people remember correctly, Iron Man was considered an independent film because it was outside of the system, and then it became the system.
No, it completely did. And that there's another fascinating story about that. That was a real game changer. And it was essentially, in terms of a comic book movie and a budget, that was definitely considered an independent film, in my opinion.
Right.
And yours. Yeah, and it completely defined that whole genre. And
because it was also made by the people that cared and created, that cared about the product enough to make it what it needed to be versus a cash grab, which is what it felt like almost every other superhero film. Not every, because we had to have X-Men. We did have the good Superman back in the day. But it felt like we were getting a lot of, we're just going to give you a hero.
Yeah, no, there's a lot more, admittedly, with a lot of these major films, there's a lot more in their characters.
Right.
And they have so much talent working on it that it's not like a cheat, it's not like a Happy Meal. These are films that could be nominated for Oscars.
Right.
But to your point about it, about Iron Man being the catalyst for that whole genre, this could be the turning of the page. And I feel like in some way or some capacity that this is going to be something that influences that page turn.
And a lot of people, look, we love special effects, but I feel we've been oversaturated with special effects movies that we're back to, we care more about the story again. We care more about the characters. It needs to be more than just big flashy. And corporate doesn't understand that yet, so they keep giving us big flashy, and you're going to give us a story with heart.
Yeah, that's the idea. And with any movie or book or, like I said, any work of art, I think there's something ineffable that connects all of us. And when you find somebody who loves the project as much as you do, or say they saw a film and they have a different interpretation, but it leads to a conversation with the two of you and you grow closer, that's something special. And that's initially why I wanted to get into filmmaking and why I approached this path. Because it's inherently inclusive. Yeah. Whatever, you could sit down and write anything, and that could never be wrong. It's not, and then it's about putting it out into the world so people can understand that maybe they're not alone. Maybe there's somebody out there that feels these feelings as well. And you can identify. That's why when people go to shows or concerts for their favorite artists, you see them weeping because it spoke so much to them.
Right.
And that there was somebody out there that was feeling the same way that they did and could articulate it in an emotional way. And that's something special, and that's something that I don't ever want to give up on.
I understand that completely. Will, thank you so very much for doing this today. I really appreciate you taking time, especially while you're stuck in traffic. I'm glad we could do this. And like I said, when it gets closer to more things that you have to talk about or things that people can interact with, let us know. Even if you're going to be just out in the area and you're not going to tell us where, just let us know so we can say, hey, be on the lookout for and give people a heads up.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Billy.
Another reason we love this community.
Buns are warm and the dogs are hot. The picnic dogs are best they've got. Grab your pals, don't be late. And Roro Dog, it's a tasty day. Roro Dog, hey, serving smiles all day. Roro Dog, whoa, tastes so good you'll wanna stay. From the grill to the groove, come join the crowd. And Roro Dog, we're proud and loud. Yeah, it's Wiener Wednesday, come on down. Wieners all over town. Big buns, big fun. Bring your friends to play. You know it's Roro Dog all the way. Ayo.
Phoenix, get ready to feel the sparks of joy. Join the Desert Overture Wind Symphony and Desert City Jazz for a festive winter concert that will ignite your holiday spirit. Sunday, December 14th, 3 p.m. live at the Tempe Center for the Arts. It's a musical celebration with warmth, rhythm, and community, from dazzling symphonic classics to swinging jazz favorites. And here's the best part. Gay Phoenix is giving away two pairs of tickets. Enter now at gayphoenix.com for your chance to experience the season's most joyful performance. That's Sparks of Joy, December 14th, 3 p.m. at the Tempe Center for the Arts. Tickets and information at desertoverture.org or enter to win at gayphoenix.com.
The Bears are coming, and this time, they're bringing the whole union. Thursday, November 13th, Bear Union Phoenix ignites the desert. The world-famous men-only event that's packed Palm Springs, roared through L.A., and left San Diego dripping with sweat, now lands right here in the valley. Expect fur. Expect power. Expect bodies built for connection. This isn't a bar crawl. It's a brotherhood. Where the music hits deep, the energy runs hotter, and every bear, cub, and daddy finds his tribe. Doors open at 8 p.m. and the night doesn't stop until the last growl fades. Clothes check, lube, consent, respect. Everything you need for a night that's 100% bear union. So grab your gear, hydrate, and join the union. Bear Union Phoenix, Thursday, November 13th. Because when bears unite, the desert burns. Learn more at gayphx.com.
Huzzah! Welcome to All Queer Shakespeare, the world's first all LGBTQIA+ Shakespearean theater company. Tickets are on sale for our latest show. Check us out at allqueershakespeare.com. It's a gay old time.
Pride lives here.
And with that, it's a wrap. If you've made it all the way to the end of this episode, thank you. That means you're one of our most faithful listeners, and we appreciate you more than you know. Every listen, every share, every bit of feedback helps us grow and keeps this thing moving forward. What started as a community calendar has grown into something bigger. Gay PHX is now our community radio, streaming live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, filled with local voices, queer stories, and daily announcements to keep you connected. So if you haven't already, tell a friend, a coworker, or that guy you just met at karaoke, tune in, because this station belongs to all of us. You can listen anytime at gayphx.com or just search GayPHX on TuneIn, MyTuner, or Radio Garden. Wherever you listen, we're right there with you. And as for next week, we'll just say we'll be roasting the next episode in the best way possible. See you next week.
We're together, the sun is bright, and there's nowhere better than by your side.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.